A blockbuster meeting for the final gathering of the Fargo City Commission. Three members are leaving, three huge decisions made on the last night. A bombshell decision from a federal judge who says the Trump administration is harassing Tim Walz. And a massive accomplishment at the World Cup. Is there a new greatest player of all time? It is a colossal show here on the Steve Altschul Show today. Wow. Anything going on today? Oh, my gosh. Certainly in the city of Fargo, as three major stories that we've been following here for the last couple of years all came to a head with big decisions last night. Holy smokes. It was a meeting for the ages, the final meeting with the mayor who is leaving and two city commissioners who are leaving. So three of the five are leaving. There will be three new ones that will be in the next meeting when they get together in July. Good morning, friend. I'm glad to have you with me here on the show today. I love morning thunderstorms. I remember growing up on the farm, and when you had a big thunderstorm come in early, it generally wasn't severe. You didn't have the hail, tornadoes, damaging winds. You just had some thunder boomers and a lot of rain and really dark skies. And we had that this morning in Fargo. I loved it. I don't know. It takes me back. You know, the older I get, the things that take me back where I have these very clear, indelible images and snapshots in my mind of sitting on our porch on the farm and looking out and seeing it rain and rain and rain. And Dad sitting there with a cup of coffee and probably had things to do on the farm, but said, you know what? It's just nice sitting here watching the rain. And I'm that way. When we get a big, heavy rain, I go out in the garage. I open up the garage door and pull up a chair and sit and watch. I don't know. I guess it's part of my upbringing, part of growing up, and maybe still a little bit part of who I am. I guess I'm still Roger Hallstrom's son in some way. Dad will tell you I was a terrible farmer. I wanted to go in town and play basketball and chase girls, but I still love the farm. You know, growing up in the country, I couldn't wait to leave. Couldn't wait to get off the farm and just, not my thing. And now just those moments when you can go back. And we've since sold the family farm since my dad's passing, so can't really go back. But on days like today, I feel like maybe I can just a little bit. We got a lot of ground to cover here on the program today. Michelle Turnberg is going to join us between 9:30 and 10. I think there's going to be a lot to talk about. Well, I know there's going to be a lot to talk about with her. These three big stories, and I have so many questions that I need answers to. Michelle voted for the downtown option at the Civic for the new convention center. And I don't know. Maybe I just liked the plan, the layout, the way that the guys at Brewhalla explained their plan. But there was something I looked at and I said, you know what? I like that idea. And I can't say I hate the downtown idea, but I'm confused about how they're going to handle that with parking and streets, accommodating any kind of a crowd whatsoever. And yes, I know there's parking downtown, but at busy times, there's not a lot of it. And you know, maybe it's just a little bit of a chip on my shoulder. It seems like downtown gets everything in this city. And maybe it's for good reason. Maybe I'm just being petty. Maybe I've seen so many of these things where there's so much focus on downtown, and I get it. There has to be. It's part of your sort of urban center of town, and it's why a lot of people come here. It's where they spend time when they come from out of town. I get that, but I don't know. I'm just a little crabby about this one today. Just a little. But I'm going to be honest enough to tell you, it's not logical. I don't know. It just feels like, oh, here we go, downtown. I am concerned by comments that were made by one of the new city commissioners. I'm concerned about what's going to happen in downtown if it doesn't get the convention center. Well, that's hardly a reason to put it there. So, I don't know. I've got to brush up again on the plan. It sounds like there is a TIF, tax increment financing plan for this. There was a similar kind of mechanism for Brewhalla. So foundationally and financially, it sounds like maybe downtown, they say, is giving us the best financial options here. I don't know. The committee said Brujala's your choice, city commission. City commission, okay, thank you. Tears up the envelope and says, we're just going to put it downtown. So we'll talk to Michelle about that today. And she voted for downtown. So I'm going to get educated a little bit here on this one today. And maybe you will as well. We're also going to be visiting today with Liz Collin, our friend from Alpha News. She is the producer on a new documentary about Minnesota Mao. No kings in Minnesota, remember? No kings. But a dictator, oh, that's fine. Yeah, that's fine. So we'll talk to Liz about that here today. And if we have time at the end of the show, I was in the Fargo Airport for the first time last weekend since they redid everything. Oh, my gosh. I don't even recognize the place. It is really cool. It's an amazing airport now for a city our size. So all that coming on the show here today. And, boy, I can just still hear it raining. We're going to get an inch of rain out of this thing here this morning. I don't think it's supposed to last all that long. But it has been raining pretty hard now for a while. And it's still been a little dry here in town, so we can use it. All right, let's get to the Morning Wire semi-automatic storylines. We give you a rapid-fire rundown of the world around us today. June 23rd, 2026. I don't have to say the Minnesota State High School girls softball tournament was still won by a guy. Girls played. Girls won it. Does my heart good. Let's start with the almanac for today. We will gain today. No, we will lose. I got to get in the new habit now. We will lose 9 seconds of daylight today. So if you like those late nights, we were painting in the garage last night. Painting until about 9:30 was fantastic. All kinds of natural light. Love it. 9:25 will be sunset tonight. In the markets today, what a opening to the stock market today. Dow is basically unchanged, so is S&P 500, but the NASDAQ was down 900 points at the start of trading, but has quickly flown back up, and we're down only 306 right now. So there's a big sell-off this morning, maybe some program trading of some kind, just the algorithms kicked in, and people started selling some stuff, the big institutional warehouses, but people are snapping up those stocks, and isn't it going to be interesting to see if we finish in the positive today? WTI crude oil, speaking about interesting, this one's flying the other direction, going down another almost $2 today, $72.78. Oil prices almost back into the 60s. And we don't even really have a resolution on this war yet. Isn't that crazy? Bitcoin today about 62,000, where it's been for a long time. Gas, 392 on average. North Dakota, 375, Minnesota, 370, South Dakota, 382. In the news today, well, where do we start on the city commission? Well, let's not, actually. Let's start with the war in Iran. President Trump said earlier today that Iran has fully and completely agreed to allow nuclear inspections, but Tehran says there are no plans for inspectors to return to their bombed enrichment sites. Isn't this the way it goes? This is why you can't trust the Iranians. They were telling you on Sunday, we're not meeting with them. Well, they had negotiators in the room with J.D. Vance. Vance says, no. UN inspectors could return to Iran as soon as this week. Iran's chief negotiator told state media yesterday that the Strait of Hormuz will never return to its pre-war conditions and that Iran will maintain control of the vital waterway. So whatever the president, they'd be good Democrats, wouldn't they? Whatever the president says, they're saying exactly the opposite, just to stir things up. Monday was the busiest day for transit of the strait since the war began. 35 commercial vessels crossed the waterway, and likely there were more that did not have location transponders turned on. Fargo City Commission on a 4-1 vote has chosen to go against the recommendation from the site committee and will place a new convention center downtown at the Civic Center, a 66-year-old building that's been mostly unused for several years. They beat out Brujala. This is story of the day. More on this in a minute. The commission also voted last night to disband the Fargo Human Rights Commission and voted 3-2 to give a homeless center funds from a 2009 fund to help with flood recovery. What a mess these things are. Oh, yeah, we're going to raise the money. We're going to raise the money, and since we can't, now we're going to take it from a fund that could be, what, returned to the taxpayers or used for some other legitimate purposes. But no, we're going to use it for homeless services. And a federal judge has blocked an attempt by the Trump administration to subpoena Governor Tim Walz and other state officials, calling it an effort to harass and retaliate against them. I could go for a long time about this, and I will in the Key 3 coming up in the 10 o'clock hour. When we come back, story of the day. How about this downtown convention center? We're going to talk about it next. When it's got to go, call Rowan Joe. Rowan Joe Junk Haul and Removal. That's the only number to call when you got a pile of junk and you need to get rid of it. Whether it's commercial, residential, get that clutter out of there. Maybe grandma was a hoarder, just couldn't get rid of anything, and now grandma's moved into assisted living or passed along, and now you got to figure out what to do with all of that stuff, and you've picked out the stuff you wanted, and now it's just a lot of stuff. John Minton and his team, they've been doing this for years. John's a 30-year combat vet, good patriot. So when you call Rowan Joe Junk Haul and a Removal, you're calling a locally owned business, a family-owned business, and a veteran-owned business, and your money stays here in the community. The Little League baseball team, they're not being supported by Home Depot. They're being supported by people like Rowan Joe Junk Haul and Removal. Local businesses, they're worth supporting. And John's a faith, family, freedom guy through and through. RowanJoeJunk.com, R-O-E-N-J-O-Junk.com, R-O-E-N-J-O-Junk.com. When it's got to go, call Rowan Joe, Rowan Joe Junk Haul and Removal. All right, story of the day. It is no doubt the decision made last night by Fargo's City Commission picking the site for the new convention center. So this came about, as you'll remember, with a 3% lodging tax that was approved back in November 2024. So they have this money now to work with. So if you're from out of town coming to Fargo, thank you, I guess. You're going to be paying for this. I don't know that those of us who live in town will, but if you have family and friends, they're going to have to help fund the bill for this whole thing there. So they've had this pile of money, and all along I kind of joked to myself and anyone who would listen to say, well, you know, if they don't like any of the options, they could just not build one. I mean, we didn't vote that we had to build one. We voted to build one if we had one that worked. And through the whole process, we've heard people say that our auditors and people that do this kind of work for a living, like, I don't know that any of these projects look all that great. But we apparently have gotten to the point, and this will be a question for Michelle here in a little bit, where we've decided, okay, this can work, this will be fine, and the building will somehow, some way, be taken care of in the days ahead with this lodging tax. There's enough money here to get this thing done. So the committee that was entrusted with coming up with the best location voted for the Brujala site, which is just west of downtown. It's maybe, I don't know where you'd call the edge of downtown, but I don't know, three quarters of a mile, so whatever that is, 10, 15 blocks away to the west, and would have provided some development there and some infrastructure there, and then you'd have the infill. So I think one of the things I liked about that plan is that you've created some growth there. People are going to want to put businesses up between downtown and where this facility sits there. And you're not as landlocked there. You can kind of start from scratch, whereas you had the concerns about that with downtown. But through this whole process, key people in the city were saying, if you listened, were saying, yeah, I don't know. Kind of feels like it should go downtown for me. So I've been saying for a while, this is going to end up going downtown. And there are some fairly well-to-do people and some fairly influential folks that have an interest in downtown, shall we say. So last night, 4-1, they said, let's put it downtown. Mayor Mahoney, Commissioners John Strand, Dave Pepcorn, Michelle Turnberg all voted yes for the Civic Center proposal. Commissioner Denise Kolpak voted no. And this was an interesting conversation there that Kolpak said, we have a once-in-a-generation opportunity here. And she said, let's put the convention center at Brujala, and we can do a performing arts center at the Civic, which there's a part of me. I love the fine arts, and I love performances, plays, musicals, concerts, orchestra, things like that. I would love to see a good performing arts center downtown. Question is, of course, like, how do you do it without creating a massive bill for the community? And at a time in our existence here where we've had a 20% increase in the cost of everything, just the normal inflation over the Biden administration, then you have another, whatever it is, 3-4% under Donald Trump. You add that up, 20% inflation under Biden, 7% under Trump. We've got a 27%. If you want to round up, you can go to 30. I'll round down and say 25. But everything costs 25% more than it did 5-6 years ago. We get it. Things get more expensive. But at this particular time in our city, where it'd be great to have so many different things, you just can't start building things left and right and saying, okay, taxpayers of Fargo, you have to now pay for this, when most families are stretched. There's a few people, obviously, that are always doing well in any economy, but it's tough right now for a lot of families trying to make ends meet. Commissioner Kolpak, in her last hurrah last night, she says, I know this is a late idea. I'm coming in at the 11th hour, actually 11:59 and 58 seconds, but this process has been belabored. It's never too late to make the right decision. And there were comments from all the commissioners there. Dave Pepcorn says, we are proposing something that's very risky, and that's not what we should do, but still voted to go ahead and, A, build it, and then build it downtown there as well. John Strand said, I'm concerned about this too. I don't want to be putting on the public a decision and where people will say, look what they did to us back in 2026. So the process comes to an end last night. It started in 2025, early 2025, and I credit the forum for a good write-up on this story. I thought they had a really complete rundown of how this whole issue came around. And I'd forgotten that there were 9 developers that eventually submitted proposals for this thing there. And the committee back in April said, hey, Brewhalla is your best choice, Civic Center a close second. And then a few days later, the city commission said, let's take a look at both of them. You might wonder what Charlie Johnson has to say about this, because it was his committee that said, I think the Brewhalla is the spot. Charlie either chose his words carefully or really didn't care in the end, saying, quote, I recognize that it was an extremely difficult decision for the city commission to make, and I appreciate their courage in making a decision. And that's exactly what happened. A decision was made last night. So we will now, I guess, move to the bonding process, and then we'll have to figure out the story about downtown. And I'm thankful because our good friend Michelle Turnberg has walked in the door, and we're going to visit with her here in just a few minutes about this. But I have so many questions about this and how we're going to do this downtown, how it's going to work, how much of the existing structure can we really use. And I'm sure Michelle and the other commissioners don't have completely all, you know, the, okay, this girder can stay, but this foundation piece has to go, whatever. But a lot of these big piece items we're going to be able to get into with the commissioner coming up here a moment ago. Thought she would have made a wonderful mayor, but that's for another time. That's for another time, right? So we're going to talk about that. And are we worried about how this is going to be paid for? And what the financial piece of this looks like downtown. Is it any better, any worse than any of the other options? So that is story of the day, no question about it. And I didn't even cover in a lot of detail the other two monster decisions downtown about disbanding the Human Rights Commission and then the what are we doing with our flood money? What? We're going to do what now? So we got a lot to talk about with the commissioner. That's coming up next on the Steve Alstrom Show. 32 past the hour, Steve Alstrom Show. Let's get right to it because I only have a half hour with my friend Michelle Turnberg. And it might be, I might have to try to imprison her here somehow, hold her hostage and not let her leave. There's so much to talk about. Michelle, thanks for coming out, coming in.
Absolutely.
So let me get to, they tell you in radio producing, like, don't lead up to your big stuff. Just get your big things out there early, because if a bomb hits the building, then at least you know you got your important stuff in. So let's start with Convention Center, which I think is obviously story number one last night. It was voted 4-1. Commissioner Kolpak said, oh, let's move it to Brewhalla, do something else downtown.
After a very long PowerPoint
I heard
presentation.
About that. Yeah.
Very long.
Yeah.
Tearful.
Like you didn't have anything else to do last night, right? So Okay, so you voted for Civic. Let me start there. Downtown Civic instead of Brewhalla. Your best 30 seconds on why you think this is the right spot.
So I think that's the right spot because for the aggregate good, it benefits the most people. In a nutshell, I would say that. We're taking a building where we can reuse the bones and use that to go from the Civic Center to the new convention center. It'll be walking distance to all of the businesses and restaurants and amenities that Fargo has to offer downtown and hopefully bring life back to that area. Now, the difference between the two, and I love Brewhalla. I love going there. I love picking up dog treats and gelato and eating oysters and getting slushies. And it's great.
I like the pizza and the burgers.
And but, you can bring your dog.
You're a little more civilized. You like the oysters and the dog treats.
Oh, they're so good. And the grilled olives. Anyway.
we digress.
So I truly love Brewhalla, and they put so much effort into this. But they were proposing a $100 million TIF going from University to 25th Street. So you have to remember that TIFs now also need to be approved by the county and the school.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I contacted both, and both said they have not been contacted, and they both say no. Because
so
they're giving up all that money, and the county doesn't have resources and money coming in like the city does. And so they're pretty tight with their 3% property tax.
Okay, wouldn't
cap.
They have to approve the TIF downtown then?
That has already been in place for years. And so that is already there.
I see.
The convention center at the Civic is not asking for a TIF, but the riverfront TIF has been there for several years and is already collecting money.
I thought I read in the story that they were asking for a...
No, and that's what they got wrong. And that's what Denise said in her PowerPoint, which was incorrect, which I corrected her. They are not asking for a TIF. The riverfront TIF is already there.
Okay, so I'm not throwing the forum under the bus, but that's where I thought I read this.
Because maybe if they were listening to Denise, because she said...
Well, I could be wrong. I read like 16 different I read everything I could on this one.
Yeah.
So, okay, I take that back because I'm scrolling through it and I don't see that there. So, okay, anyway, got it. So the incentive thing is already in place, so it's not an additional thing being put in.
No, it's more of a safety net. So for those first couple of years, if there are losses, then we can – and it is earmarked – for things just like this.
Mm-hmm.
So we can use that money that's already there, already gaining interest and being added to each year. So it's not a new TIF, and this was put in place before my time and before the school and county had to also weigh in on it.
Huge piece to the story.
Huge,
then.
Huge. $100 million TIF?
Yeah, that right.
And that's why they said they would cover all losses. Well, when you have $100 million, you can do that.
Yeah,
but it wouldn't have been approved.
Well, if at least I will say this, they were going to pay the taxes, but it was going to go into taking care of that area.
Yeah.
I get that. So it's not like they're saying we're not paying anything. Some of these things were like we're not
paying
for 20 years.
The land. They were donating the land. And again, I liked their proposal.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the gentleman behind it. I liked the people behind it. It's just, I think for the aggregate good, downtown is the better choice.
Okay. I want to ask you, though, I hear this in the city of Fargo, and we were talking about this during the break coming back with the other one of the other stories there. But so many times in the city of Fargo, we're told, oh, we're going to be able to do this, and we can use the existing infrastructure. It's got good bones, and we can use it all. And then, like, I swear, Michelle, 9 times out of 10, they come back, oh, yeah, we took a look at it, and I guess we can't do that. So guess we're going to have to figure out how we're going to pay, and so we're going to borrow from this and whatever that. Do you feel comfortable that when they tell you that some of the infrastructure there will be used, are you confident that you're not getting a bill of goods?
Yes.
Okay.
They inspected, and they went through everything and even redid plans after looking at some of the bigger details of where there were some infrastructure that couldn't be touched. The bones of the Civic are good. It's not ADA compliant. The HVAC is a mess. And we pay $250,000 a year just to keep that building alive.
Utilities or taxes or what?
And there's still specials on it.
Okay.
So that building is just a money sucker right now where we get that reused.
Okay.
for the convention center, and that will be a much better way forward.
I have heard, and I think this was Mark Bjornstedt who said this. He said, we've done studies about what will happen if you put the convention center at Brewhalla and all of the infill and all the development you'll have that will grow between downtown and Brewhalla in 10, 15, 20 years or whatever. The city's going to have more economic impact because you're going to have businesses are going to sprout up kind of in the middle of all
why
that.
Why can't that still happen? I mean, that can still happen.
Well, but not downtown it can't. You're not creating
Brewhalla,
2 points.
They can still... That can still be developed. And
oh, sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you can, but the convention center would be a much bigger catalyst for any of that mm-hmm. development than
And Denise
whatever.
Wanted to put a performing arts center on yep. the civic site last mm-hmm. night. That was her proposal. But where's that money coming from?
Yeah,
they tried
I know.
To raise $60-70 million a few years ago mm-hmm. and got nowhere. So it's yeah. a great, great dream and vision. Mm. Nothing against that, but I think this is the most feasible and economically viable of the two.
Okay. I need to take a step back because I've screwed up this whole interview. The first thing I needed to do was say, how are you after the mayor
oh,
thing?
Oh, I'm good. Yeah. I'm good. Yeah. It was, you know, Wednesday was
are you
pretty
doing okay?
deflated.
I hope you are.
I was deflated. It was very, yeah. You know, we gave it our all.
Oh,
nothing
I
more
know you did.
We could have done. And so I'm very happy with that. And moving forward, I'm still on the commission, and I mm-hmm. have notebooks full of ideas and things that need to change. And so I'm already working on them.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, on behalf of those of us who consider ourselves common sensers, thank you for getting involved the way you did. And I've been trying to be really honest so I can look everybody in the eye and say, I'm not telling one thing to one person. If either you or Dave would have been elected, I would have been ecstatic.
Mm-hmm.
But I know you better. I just do. And mm-hmm. you've been so willing to come on the show. And Dave's been a great guest. But you've been bent over backwards. Like anytime you can come here, like today, you're taking a half hour out of your day. You got a job. You got family. You got all this stuff. And so I was pulling for you big time on this whole thing.
Thank you.
Please don't give up your dream of being mayor, though, someday.
Oh,
because
no.
You absolutely can do it. And we could talk a lot about strategy and whatever. Credit Josh Boucher. They ran a good campaign. They did what they needed to do. And I wish him all the best. I hope he's a great leader for the city. But it still is only one of five places on that commission.
Right.
And you have a huge voice. And I think there are a lot of people that I don't know why. I don't know how why things work out. God has his plans and all of that. I know you believe
absolutely.
That too. But I've told you this for a long time, and I even said to you, Michelle, I don't know, like, do you need to do this now? Because your star is so bright, and you'll be able to do so many things, but I'm glad that you tried, because you did it for all the right reasons.
True, absolutely, and we're not stopping, and the support is still fantastic.
Yeah.
And so I feel energized, and we will go forward.
Good.
Absolutely.
You also sat down with a new mayor. What mm-hmm. what did you what tell me about that, and what did you get out of that?
Well, I want, you know, we're going to be working together for I suspect the next 4 years, and I just wanted to get to know him. I found out he's from Minot. He's got two brothers. His parents are still there, you know, just wanting to get to know him as a person. Came to NDSU originally to go to vet school and stuff like that. So, and I told him, you know, I think if we're focused on the same things, on core city services and making the city better, we're all on the same page.
Is he gonna be a common sense mayor?
Well, I hope so. We'll find out. I hope so.
I worry about this movement going on within the Democrat Party in this country right now. And I'll say this, and I've said this again, I try to be honest even if I don't like what I say sometimes. But I found Josh a couple times in the legislature. Now, he had his votes where, like, Josh, what are you doing? But there were a couple of times when he voted, I thought, things that made common sense. And that's more than you can say for most Democrats these days. But I worry where the money came from behind his campaign. And did he have to make promises?
Well, we know that a lot of it came from
New York.
There
you go. And did he make promises to people? And he's talking about affordable housing, which all the Democrats, socialists now are talking about.
Well, tell me if affordable that's a core housing. City service. Is that a core city service?
Well, no, it's not.
No.
No, it isn't. So I'm going to give him every benefit of the doubt. He seems like a good man. He really does. He seems like a guy who's thoughtful, who is relatively bright. I mean, he's bright, he's intelligent, well-spoken, all that. He's a guy that seems like you'd like to have a beer with. I'm nervous about how Democrats are operating these days, and I just wonder if what were they saying on those phone calls to all those kids they got to come out and vote? Like, what promises were made? I would like to know that.
Know.
But anyway, okay, I'm glad you're doing great. Okay, so we only have a minute. I have this break. I have to take
so much. I brought my whole
agenda.
Well,
no, we've got another segment, but I've got to take a break. Let's get started though. Human Rights Commission. We can get that done, I think, in 30 seconds. John Strand, of all people.
Yes.
If John Strand says we don't need the Human Rights Commission, it must have been a dumpster
fire.
Well,
let's just be real. It's ineffective. It is a dumpster fire. It's done nothing. And the thing is, it doesn't have to be connected to the city to be a viable organization. Mm. You can meet every day if you want to, but you don't have to be a city organization and have one of the highest paid city employees be a volunteer coordinator.
Mm.
It's not using resources effectively, and it was not an effective commission, and it's good that it's no longer part of the city.
Yeah, I need to talk to Dave and ask why he voted for it. I don't get it. I think your city commission should have a care and a concern toward people of all backgrounds in the city anyway. And so do we need this other thing? It's like when they say we're going to have hate crime penalties for the crime. No, it's a crime. That's all you need.
We have that in place already, and this Human Rights Commission has zero jurisdiction over anything.
Yeah, but they've been around for 25 years. That's the weird thing. This wasn't like a COVID era DEI
thing. Have you watched a meeting?
No, I have not.
Okay.
All right, more with Michelle coming back after this. Coming to you live from the Drive with Vision studio, drivewithvision.com, Vision Ford Lincoln in Wahpeton. You can call us, send us a text, email, let us know what's on your mind, 701-271-1100. That's the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. They've recently expanded to get you in fast. They now offer counseling, which I feel like I'm needing now after reading the story about the city commission. And how we're going to equip the Resource and Recovery Center. I might need a little therapy about this. They also, by the way, have a nurse practitioner, occupational therapy, physical therapy as well. Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness, valleychristian.co. Email studio@flagfamily.com or text or call 701-271-1100. Okay, Michelle. Of all the things that happened last night, the one that made me mad was this one. Fargo will give a homeless service center funds from a 2009 flood relief fund fueled by donations. So here's my interpretation of what I think has happened. You tell me where I'm wrong. We said, hey, let's get the homeless people out of downtown, which makes sense, but we're going to rent a building for 2 years. We're not outfit at all, which is weird to me. Like, why are you not making a long-term plan somewhere? And we're going to go raise money. The mayor, I'm going to get donations to do this. And I'm rolling my eyes all the time going, you're going to end up short of donations. And you're going to be asking, where are we going to come up with the money? And so here's what we're going to do. Instead of $144,000 left over from flood relief that we could use to pay our firefighters or our cops or have streets and roads and streetlights and all that stuff, we're going to throw it toward this new resource and recovery center down there and help keep the dream alive for all of the homeless and addicted people in town. Why? Tell me I should not be furious about this. You're going to say one thing, but I know you're not going to do it. And in the end, we're all going to pay for it later on.
Well, you should be furious because if I make a donation to a charity I support and then it ends up going to a charity that's giving out drug paraphernalia, I would be furious, right? But here's the difference of what the public wasn't told or what's not been clear in the media. This isn't the city's money. So in 2009, a fund was started for flood relief through the Dakota Medical Foundation. So it raised money, and then it gave some scholarships to students that were helping sandbag.
Oh, okay.
And that's how they used it, because apparently the federal money came through for most of the people that needed help.
Okay.
After the flood of 2009. Well, in 2022, they changed what this money would be used for and included any natural disaster. Well, we know a natural disaster could happen. Look at Enderlin last year with a tornado. Look at Northwood.
Yeah, it will. Right? It's just a matter of when, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So this money is earmarked for a natural disaster relief.
And it can't be used for anything
else. It's not the city's money. It's the Dakota Medical Foundation's money.
Okay.
So what last night was, the mayor found out about this or remembered it and said, how can we use this for our new deck, our new resource and recovery center? Because we need to finish lighting and improvements to a rented building that we have. And so last night, what that vote was, 3-2, was to ask the Dakota Medical Foundation, and I believe their next meeting will be in August, because I had to ask our attorney if this was even legal. Mm. Like, this stinks to me. So it will be on the Dakota Medical Foundation board's agenda to whether or not to appropriate those funds to the Resource and Recovery Center. Okay. So what we voted on last night was just approving to ask them for the money.
Okay. Well, what happens when we have a natural disaster, though?
Well, we won't have $144,000 to help people with.
And we're not talking about millions. I get that. But it's just this whole lack of common sense. How did three people vote for this?
Well, it's the three
you're kicking
that
the can down
do.
The road.
It's the three that normally promote the the deck and the needles and what have you. And so it was 3-2, and they voted to ask Dakota Medical Foundation for the money. And some of this was donated by citizens intended for flood relief.
Mm.
That's what it was intended for. So like I said, if I donate to the rescue center in town, which I often do, I don't want it going to something else. I want it to go to that.
The conspiracy theorists out there are saying, The city commission voted to bring this thing downtown because they don't ever want the homeless people coming back. And they said, if we put the convention center at Brewhalla, Bollinger's going to kick all the people out after 2 years. They're all going to come back downtown. What happens after 2 years out there?
Yeah. Well, I want to see, this is not a core city service. Mm. This should be in the hands of nonprofits. And I would like to see us hand it over to nonprofits and they can handle it. If the state wants to step in and help pay for it, then there better be three other centers just like it set up around the state, because if the state only pays for Fargo, you know what that will mean.
Yeah.
Everybody from around the state, even though they come from around the region, will be sent to Fargo.
Yes.
And that's the truth, like it or not.
Scott believes that Nikki Gullickson could be a common sense third vote to go along with you and Chad Peterson. What do you know of Nikki? Do you think so?
I tried having lunch with her today, and she canceled on me from, I'm sure she's very busy with the orientation. Mm. I don't know yet. I can't say.
Okay. Yeah. Smart answer. I don't know either. I didn't love some of the answers I got during the commission debate, but Scott says, hey, give her a chance, so I will. Thank you, my friend, for coming by.
Thanks for all you do for us.
Appreciate you being so accessible when we need you. Hour number two of the program coming up next. Oh, my gosh. There's some guests that I could talk to all day long. That young lady is one of them. She will have her day. I firmly believe that. And I think whatever she wants to do in this state, she can do. Maybe even higher than that. I don't know. But I'm so thankful that we have her on that wall for us. You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. Well, we have her on that wall. And, you know, I love talking with her because she's not afraid to say, no, Steve, you're missing it. And she's just so clear about what needs to happen. And it is amazing how one vote makes such a difference. Just think. If she wins mayor, or if she loses mayor, stays on the commission, but then you get Tony Gehrig and Chad Peterson, can you even imagine what the next 4 years would look like of people saying, nope, we're not going to do it. We're voting all that stuff down. The tough love decisions that this city needs. So I'm glad she's doing better. I know she really took it hard right after. Well, who wouldn't, right? You put everything into it and super raw emotions on election night and, you know, made for some good radio here at our place. But she's doing well. And I love seeing that her energy is back and she is ready to keep fighting. And there's so much of Trump in her. There just is. I absolutely love it. And I believe that she's going to have her day. And I will also say this. I almost hate to say this too loud because I don't want the wrong people to hear this. But I think Josh Beauchesne must have gotten out every liberal, socialist, hardcore Democrat, affordable housing, free this, free that. He must have gotten every one of them out. They were very organized. They worked hard. Give them credit. But the untapped potential for Michelle and her ceiling is higher than his. No question about it. So hopefully. I said, I hope you do this again. She's like, oh, absolutely. So she's not done fighting to take that next step. Mayor Turnberg, it would be fantastic. Some people are like, Fargo's never going to vote for a woman to be the mayor. Oh, 100%. People don't care about that. People just don't care anymore. All the things that used to make it, well, he's gay or she's a woman or whatever. People don't care. Just show up and do the job for those things. So anyway, I could have gone 2 hours with her, but we covered a lot of ground in the first hour, including some pretty important distinctions. If you missed this, go back and listen. She explains this thing about the whatever the new downtown engagement center is called now, the Resource and Recovery Center, blah, blah, blah. She explained that, I thought, really well what the process looks like for that. And then she also clarified for us that there is already a tax increment financing district for that area downtown. So there's not going to be a new one. There would have been with Brujala. Now, like I've told you, the Brujala thing, at least you'd say, well, it's for the infrastructure for that area. So it's not like we're not paying taxes. They're just, the taxes they're paying are going toward servicing that area, which they probably need to use a fair amount of that for normal stuff anyway. And certainly there will be some expansion there. So if you miss any part of the first hour, really good half hour there with Michelle Turnberg from 9:30 to 10 o'clock. Okay, let's get into the key three here on the Steve Holstrom Show. I think I almost said the Need to Know Morning Show. Addison, did I say the Need to Know Morning Show sometime in the first hour?
It slips out every now and then.
Yeah,
I don't think
every
you said
time,
it today, though.
Okay, well, I'm hanging in. Sometimes, like, things just come from the Wayback Machine. And you're like, where did that come from? I guess that's the way the human brain works, especially as it gets a little older.
Still to this day, I don't write checks very often. Mm-hmm. I had to write a check a couple weeks ago. Mm. I dated it 2017. I am so
wow.
far. I'm not even close.
No. 2017. Yeah, I probably write about 5 checks a year. And I don't know, for the most part, but I remember in the days of writing checks, like the month of January, it was hard to remember. Okay, 2020, whatever that was, you know, 2015, 16, whatever. Things you want to remember include coming up Thursday at Hebron Brick Supply in West Fargo, Hebron Brick and All Saugers Meats, a salute to service, a community picnic for the Veterans Honor Flight, benefiting North Dakota and Minnesota Veterans Honor Flight. Free will donations accepted. Help send local vets to Washington, D.C. All Saugers is going to be providing the food, so you know it's going to be good. Pulled pork, brats, old-fashioned hot dogs and chips. Beer wagon from Brutus Brickhouse. Jay Thomas on location, 2 to 5 for his show. Live music from the 60s, guys, much more. Raffle prizes, some great raffle prizes as well. There will be also some veterans there telling their stories about the Honor Flight. Should be a great one. Thursday, 3 to 7 at Hebron Brick in West Fargo. All right, the key three here on the Steve Holstrom Show. Boy, there is so much to pick from here today. What can I tell you? I'm going to start with the war in Iran, which I'm still calling the war in Iran, because you can say whatever you want to say about it. This war is not over. It just isn't. Monday was the busiest day for transits of the Strait of Hormuz since the war began. 35 commercial vessels crossed the waterway. That's only about a third of pre-war traffic levels, but it likely does not include some ships that transited the strait with their location transponders switched off. So why is this in the key three? Well, look, so many things that we have to buy Fertilizer is one from the farmers, but a lot of goods and a lot of oil moving around affecting the world markets, it goes through that strait. Now, let's say that there were 15 more ships that had their transponders switched off, kind of, you know, laying low. I would. Kidding me? I absolutely would. Let's say there were 15. That means there were 50. That means it's about half of the typical traffic. Now, having it cut in half is not a good thing. But when you're going from, you know, 5 or 10 to 35 and now maybe 50 altogether, that is a big, 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 big deal. It's kind of like gas prices. Gas has not gone from 425 all the way back to 205, like it was at the corner gas station here. But we're down in the mid threes, so we mid to low threes. So we've like gotten half better, and we're going in the right direction here. The rest of the story about the war and the negotiations, whatever Trump and Vance say, Iran is going to say the opposite. It's just this sort of chaotic, try to mess up everybody all the time. I mean, they were saying on Sunday that we're not meeting with any of these people. Meanwhile, they're in the room talking with J.D. Vance. Story number two, I'm just going to touch on this because it has to be in the key three today. The Fargo Convention Center, 4-1 vote. They are going to put this downtown. Michelle Turnberg, if Michelle says, I believe it, I trust that woman. She says it will do the most good for the most people, and it will be the least impactful financially because we already have the TIF district on it. We don't have to create something new. Okay. All right, Michelle, I'm going with you. I'm on her team. So if that's what she says, go for it. And in fairness, Dave Pepcorn also said that's the way to go. And I'm a big Dave fan, will always be. I think Dave's grumpy with me for some reason. He doesn't return my calls much anymore, but I don't know. Maybe it's just he's busy. I'm not sure. But Dave said the same thing. Convention Center should go downtown. It's going to go to the Civic. Michelle says they've looked at it and the bones are good. And they can use the foundation and some of the key pieces there. So I do want to say congrats to Brujala. They basically won it until they didn't. They did a really good job. And I think they gave us a lot to think about. And I would say this to Mike and Mark and all those guys, hang in there. You don't always see the benefits of all your hard work right away, but I guarantee you've gotten a lot of people's attention, and you guys made a very, very good presentation. I thought their conversation with us here in this studio during this show was as complete and easy to understand and well laid out and thoughtful as I heard from any of the places there. So that I'll go with that story number two. Story number three, federal judge has blocked an attempt by the Trump administration to subpoena Governor Tim Walz and other state officials, calling in an effort to harass them and retaliate against them. Judge Patrick Schlitz has apparently been drinking a little bit of the product, found the dominant purpose of the subpoenas was to coerce Minnesota officials into assisting the federal government with enforcing civil immigration laws. These were subpoenas served in January about if Walz and Keith Ellison got in the way of Operation Metro Surge. That's key three. Best thing I heard all day in X. I have in my little hands the lunch specials today at PetroServe USA, hot off the presses and hot off the grill, hot off the stove, hot out of the oven. They all sound really good today. I want to drive to Valley City right now and get a hot beef sandwich. How about you, Addison? Are you down with a hot beef sandwich?
Any time of day.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
Just about.
That sounds so good. I'm so hungry. I'm trying to eat a little less these days while I'm exercising a little more. The scale says 204. And no, 203, excuse me. I'm going to fight for every pound here. I want to be at about 188 when I run in October at Twin Cities Marathon. I was at 185 last year, but I've been in the weight room a little bit over the winter. And so I know I'm carrying around just a little more, but I'd like to be at that lean body mass. And so I'm trying to eat a little less these days at my meals, a little more portion control and all that. But I'm telling you, every time I listen to these or read these PetroServe USA specials, I just say, oh, I want that. Oh, I want that too. Oh, I want that one too. Hot beef sandwich. Are you kidding me? You got, they put it on that great Texas toast out there and you get the beef and it's like slow cooked. So it's nice and juicy. Hot beef sandwiches, they can get a little dry, the beef, but not the way they do it out there. And they give you real potatoes and real gravy. They pour it over the whole thing. Oh, so good.
You might have to do the rest of the show by yourself while I go.
My mouth is absolutely watering. Okay, I guess we got to do something else during the show today other than talking about hot beef sandwich. In Harwood, sweet and sour chicken, 12th Avenue Chicken Alfredo, 205 NP Avenue Salisbury Steak. In Ada, they got the chicken fettuccine, 45th Street Swedish meatballs. Castleton's got scalloped potatoes and ham. Boy, that takes me back to Vi Hallstrom's table. Back growing up, we had breakfast, dinner, and supper. It wasn't breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It was breakfast, dinner, and supper. So when we went in for the meal at noon, it was called dinner. And we had scalloped potatoes and ham many a dinner growing up at home on the farm. Glendon, Salisbury, am I the only one? Anybody else grow up in a household where dinner was the noon meal? 271-1100 on a text message or call in. Glendon's got Salisbury steak, Whoppin' and Taco Mac. That sounds pretty good, too. I don't think I've ever had taco mac and cheese, but that sounds good. Chicken fettuccine. Mac and beef at Grand Forks by Alera Center, and chicken and gravy at Grand Forks, South Washington. Petroserve USA, helping America feel better. Okay, I've caught World Cup fever, and I never thought this would happen, and I'm sure that a good share of this is because the U.S. has a decent team, and they're going to make to the knockout round, and they have a chance. When you look at their path forward, I was listening to a soccer expert. This is my life now. I'm listening to podcasts about soccer. Never before. But I listened to this expert on it. He says, okay, you look at the draw the U.S. could get, and they definitely are going to have winnable matches if all plays out the way it looks like it's going to in the round of 16 and then the quarterfinals. And then you're into the Final Four, and then you're going to get Argentina or England, and it's just, thanks for coming. But who knows? Maybe there's magic, just like the hockey team. Maybe, do you believe in miracles? Yes, can come to the World Cup. So I'm getting into it. And I watched the whole match the last time around, and before, I felt like soccer matches are like 6 hours long, and nobody ever scores. Well, there wasn't a lot of scoring, but it felt like it actually went by like kind of watching a football game, the other football game. So I'm getting into it. Now, I am not the only one that is getting into it. And it is interesting to see how people from around the world are coming to America and finding that America is different than what they thought. This reminds me of when Scott Hannon took me. I just started here at the Flag back, 2015, 16, something like that. And Scott took me out to Western North Dakota, where out in oil country. And I don't know why, but you know, you're made to feel like, it's out in oil country. It's just like smoldering piles of rubble all over and like dead bodies laying around. And the earth has just been, just scorched and, flaring all the time. It's just dirty and it's gross or whatever. And we're driving around out there, and Scott goes, yeah, this is kind of the biggest, probably the hot spot right here with all the wells. I'm like, I didn't even see them. Oh, yeah, they're over the hill. And then we drive around, and then you see them. It's like, they're like gently nodding their heads up and down. And like, wow, I don't know what I expected, but I didn't expect that. Well, people that are coming here for the World Cup say, I don't know what I expected, but I didn't expect that. And they are loving America. They love our Texas barbecue, and they love our Waffle House, and apparently they love our ranch dressing so much. Have you heard this? The Kraft now is putting ranch dressing in little packets that people can take home on the plane because people love ranch dressing, and they're told, no, you can't take that. It's not a 3-ounce bottle, so you can't take that big half gallon of ranch home with you. But World Cup visitors, it's not just the food. They're saying, man, the people here are really nice. One Swedish influencer put on Twitter last week, he took a picture at a gas station He was having a Coke, a Twinkie, and a bag of Buffalo Blue Cheese combos. It must be like a snack cracker, Addison. Do you know what combos are? Is that a...
I've seen them. Like that. I've never had them.
Though. Okay, same. So anyway, this guy's living his best life with a Twinkie and a Coke and some snack chips. And people are saying air conditioning is phenomenal. Air conditioning. I'm like, don't they have air conditioning over in Europe? Apparently they don't. Most places don't.
In a lot of places they don't, actually.
So. I am surprised by this. Now, hopefully, you know, down in Argentina, they have air conditioning or you'd cook. But I can see Europe kind of being a mild climate. Maybe they don't. There's also a great video about raising canes, which I get that. Canes is fantastic. Slim Chicken's really good, though. Let's not sell the locals short. And, of course, you know, Chick-fil-A is the bomb. But raising canes is the real deal there. There's pictures of them. Of people drinking IPA beer, you know, your Voodoo Rangers and those kind of beers there, Deschutes Fresh Squeeze, and people love all of that. So it's amazing how people are saying Americans are nice, good people, and, you know, America is kind of a nice place to be. And a couple of videos I want to play for you. This one, the first one, I'm going to apologize a little bit. It's a little hard to understand, but... It's a Scotland fan, part of Tartan Nation, I think they're calling him there, and he's saying he's had so much fun that he was supposed to go home after the last game, but oh, here we are in the music. I'm having so much fun talking about all this. Okay, I'm going to play this. I want to play for you two comments, but apparently I had so much fun talking about ranch dressing that I left myself too short on time. But I'll play them in the last segment for you. We have coming up Liz Collin. We got to talk to Liz. But then two comments from people. You're going to love what they say about America. So all that on the way. We're going to talk to Liz Collin. Their new documentary from Alpha News Minnesota, Mao. They just keep cranking out the hits down there. We're going to talk to Liz about how it came together and what the reaction has been when we come back on the Steve Hallstrom Show. Well, it's sundown for Tim Walz, and that's a good thing. Unfortunately, the damage done has been colossal. And I am always thankful when our good friends at Alpha News do anything to expose the idiocy that has happened in Minnesota. And they're at it again with some great work on a new documentary called Minnesota Mao. Yeah, in Minnesota, right? No kings, no kings, no kings. I guess we're okay with dictators. And Liz Collin and her team have done another fantastic documentary here. The people that... really shed the light on what happened with George Floyd, Derek Chauvin, that whole thing. That was fantastic. And they're back at it again with Minnesota Mao. And Liz Collin, the executive producer, joins us here on the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. Liz, my friend, how you been? Good to talk to you again.
Doing well, Steve. Good to talk to you. Thanks for having me back on. How are you?
Wonderful. Thank you. Loving summer here in our part of the world. It doesn't last all that long, so we're enjoying it while it lasts.
Yes.
Summer's been no time off for the team at Alpha News, though. You've got this great documentary. Very easy to find for you, to our friends listening. Just go to MinnesotaMao, MAO.com, or you can go to Alpha News. .org and get it that way too. You can find it a number of different ways. But that is the new documentary out. Liz, tell us how all this came to be and what do you hope people get out of it?
Yeah, kind of an interesting approach. We appreciate the listeners that have shown their support with our stories. And yeah, the fall of Minneapolis, which we did now a few years ago. Sorry, I'm in a parking lot here, and of course, there's a large truck, Steve, just rolling by.
Oh, all good. But, we can hear you just fine.
But then we did sort of the, you know, tragic sequel to The Fall of Minneapolis, which is called Minnesota versus We the People. So this is our third documentary, Minnesota Mao. And we just thought there are so many things that I think, you know, people just go about their daily lives and they're not tuned in. And our media, frankly, in Minnesota is sadly part of the problem with what they talk about and what they do not. And there was so much that came to light when Tim Walz took the national stage, you know, being the VP pick for Kamala Harris with his communist ties. And we just thought, you know what, I think people need to hear more about this. And we kind of assembled Minnesotans from all walks of life, frankly, to tell their stories, and including one who accompanied Tim Walz on a trip to China, talking about just sort of his admiration for communism that he was able to see for himself decades ago, collecting the little red book. And when you read the little red book, pretty eye-opening to a lot of the things that we've been seeing here in Minnesota policy-wise. But we have everything from a college professor who was fired for not taking the vaccine, what happened during COVID. You know, some of the most extreme lockdowns in the country happened, obviously, in Minnesota.
Yes.
What happened with this kind of gun grab in the wake of this horrific shooting at Annunciation Catholic School, talking to a mom whose son was present, and, you know, how that the transgender ideology has been really at the forefront also of Tim Walz and his reign in Minnesota. But I think you're going to, you know, it's 90 minutes and you're definitely going to learn something. We don't ever want to tell people what to think at Alpha News, but give them something to think about. And I think this documentary does just that.
How do you think history will remember Tim Walz, Liz? I feel like he kind of walked on water for a long time. And then all of a sudden, you know, the Nick Shirley video, the work that you all did down there, I know Center for the American Experiment was involved in kind of bringing attention to these things and like, hey, we've been talking about it all along. And now you're finally seeing where people kind of all over have just said, you know, Tim Walz isn't what we thought he was, to the point where he dropped out of your running for governor, running for reelection. So how do you think the history book will remember Tim Walz in the end?
Yeah, isn't that interesting? I mean, even last week I had to chuckle. The Star Tribune, their headline was something along the lines of, you know, Walz is more unpopular than he's ever been, and people don't like the new Minnesota state flag. Okay, yeah. a little late to the party.
I know, seriously, huh?
But you know it's bad when the Star Tribune is actually writing stories about all of this. But a lot of that, just the identity, how Walz has tried to change the identity of Minnesota, whether it be the flag, whether it be you know, different schools that have changed their names, whether it be the Christopher Columbus statue being toppled and, you know, no one facing consequences for that. And the statue itself still remains in storage. So much of that is Maoism. And I think before you could never, you know, people, you're a conspiracy theorist, you know, to talk about, you know, communism at all in this country. But in so many ways, Minnesota has led the way in that, and that is because of Tim Walz and his ties to China. And we use a lot of his own words. I mean, there are more than 300 sources we use for the documentary. We're always, you know, made out to be, you know, the right-wing lunatics, but we really do, you know, report facts, and people are able to share their stories and their own personal experiences for the first time. Frankly, there's a few Democrats in the documentary as well, and they were there for the premiere. You know, people have even been able to see through on the other side of the aisle and just kind of said, you know, something really isn't right about this guy. And obviously this is why we saw Amy Klobuchar sort of swoop in and try to save, you know, the party some face and run in his place.
Yeah, you talk about Amy Klobuchar, and you just triggered me there because I'm like, oh, my word. Every time I think about Amy Klobuchar, we hear, oh, the moderate, compassion, common sense Democrat or whatever, and she's going to be the answer. I wonder the work that you've done, the work that Rick Cupcella did a documentary not too long ago, just talking about how, you know, the Twin Cities and Minnesota is just not the same place. Do you think Amy Klobuchar can distance herself enough from that? The polls seem to suggest that she is, that she can kind of be maybe the only person capable of saving the Democrats here in Minnesota. Is it enough, do you think? Has enough been taken out of the Democrats as a whole for enough people to say, you know what, let's try a Republican for governor? What do you think about that?
You know, I really feel like, you know, this was a great opportunity for the Republicans, and I still think it is. But what's interesting is Amy Klobuchar has gone about this quite smartly, and she is, you know, she's been around for decades, kind of a lifelong politician at this point. But she has kept her distance from Tim Walz, and there is a reason for that. Even at Fort Snelling, I think we were the only folks to report in Minnesota about how Walz did not take the stage. It was supposed to be he was supposed to speak on Memorial Day alongside Amy Klobuchar on Memorial Day, and he was not there. And we asked the office of Klobuchar to say, did she say, don't show up? you know, how is this working really behind the scenes? But no, they're not together. You know, he's not on the campaign trail with her. And I think that kind of speaks volumes.
Interesting. I'd never thought of it that way, but I heard and I saw your reporting on this. And I think, wasn't Walz even on the program at Fort Snelling and then just never showed up? And we found later he was dancing at the George Floyd Memorial instead that day when we're honoring our dead servicemen and women. You can't make it up what a total loser this guy is. I had not thought of that. Maybe Amy said, Tim, you're not showing up. I don't want to be on the stage even with you. But I guess it's certainly plausible. No doubt about that. What do you think happened to Tim Walz along the way, Liz? Was he always this way and we didn't know it? But we got to know him as, you know, a state legislator, a football coach and a teacher and a military guy from Mankato. And he seemed normal enough. And now he's worse than, you know, any of these governors, Pritzker and Gavin Newsom. I mean, Walz is as extreme as anybody who runs a state anywhere. Was it money that got to him, or was this just always who he was, do you think?
You know, I think this documentary answers some of those questions as well. And just doing a lot of the research into him over the years, what's interesting is even if you look at how he kind of was plucked, you know, from Mankato to run for Congress, and then there's this, you know, kind of influx of money that pours into the race kind of out of nowhere. And he's elected then in Congress. I really think that nobody was looking at these ties to China. That is not normal to travel to China 20 or 30 times. He's basically said it a couple different ways. It's not normal to be in his classroom. And I've talked to students, many students that have had Tim Walz as a teacher, and he talks about communism really working well. He talked about that on stage, frankly, during the debate with J.D. Vance, and kind of just speaks about it openly. And again, remember, he married his wife, Gwen, on the anniversary, the five-year anniversary of Tiananmen Square. And that was because it was a date that Tim would remember. Those are their own words spoken in interviews in the past. This is not normal behavior.
Yeah.
But I think when people actually start, you know, connecting the dots to the, you know, his communist ties, so much of this makes sense. The riots, the COVID lockdowns, the policies in place in Minnesota. So I think he's actually a true believer. I mean, he openly brags about how he doesn't own anything. You know, he doesn't have a residence in Minnesota. I mean, he's obviously living in the governor's mansion on our dime, but openly brags about that. So I really think that, you know, this system of government is something he believes in.
Wow. Anything that you were surprised to learn in putting together the documentary? Minnesota Mao, by the way, if we haven't mentioned it enough yet, MinnesotaMAO.com is the website for this, and you can watch it there. But as you were, I mean, you've had a front row seat to Tim Walz here working in journalism for, you know, years in Minnesota, and now you kind of see all of this come together the way it has. So I'm sure that a lot of this was kind of, yeah, no shock there. Yeah, no joke there. We knew that was part of the deal. But was there anything that surprised you in your research for this that you found out?
You know, we go a bit into fraud in Minnesota, which I know has been reported on now quite a bit. But also, I think part of sort of this, you know, communism, Maoism, you know, exploring that and just going to the office of Governor Walz. Keep in mind that, you know, we're journalists, so we always reach out for comment. We try to get the other side, or if somebody's saying something, you know, what is the other side saying? And Walz very early on cut us off at Alpha News. So it's been years since they've even replied to one of our emails. The same with Keith Ellison's office, which I always think is very telling. But just going to their offices, and you'll see this in the documentary, basically, I'm told that I will never get an interview. They will never answer any questions. We actually saw this weekend, right? Keith Ellison is asked about fraud by a national reporter, and he basically walks away and doesn't want to answer questions. But it's just very telling what's going on, you know, at the top of our government now. And I'm just going to say, it doesn't make you feel very comfortable as a journalist or, frankly, as a citizen of Minnesota.
Well, Liz, we are so thankful that you and Alpha News continue to do this great work. If it weren't for you, nobody would be doing it. It's such good stuff. It's so well done. It's so fair, too. I mean, it's not a hit piece. It's just telling the accurate information like a good reporter does. Liz, we appreciate you. Thanks for taking the time. Keep up the great work.
Appreciate you guys right back. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much. Liz Collin from Alpha News back after this. Vision Ford Lincoln and Wahpeton is hiring in their sales team. That could mean the job of a lifetime for you. You can make a lot of money just by helping your friends, family members, neighbors, people you know find the car, truck, or SUV they've been looking for. And the service tax down there make more than anywhere else in the five-state area. Ward says $40 an hour to start. Wow. And no weekends, full benefits. Vision Ford Lincoln, drivewithvision.com. Find out about all those great job opportunities down there. Okay, there's a ton of stuff I want to try to get to, but calls come first as soon as we can squeeze them in. And Mark has been waiting a while to talk. We welcome him to the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, good morning. Listen, when are conservatives together the most? There's two times a day. When do you think those two times are?
When conservatives are together the most, at the beginning of the workday and the end of the workday, I don't know.
Exactly right. Very good.
Oh.
Muy good, as we say in Spanish.
That was a wild guess, brother. I had no idea.
It's very good. Very good guess. When people go to work and people come home, they're alone in their cars. They're mostly, I'd say they're mostly conservative. So why don't you ever ask them to show support for Trump on their way to work and on their way home? You never ask them to put their fist outside the window and go fight, fight, fight. They're not going to do that or wave a flag. I mean, you don't have to show a Trump flag or nothing, just an American flag. Have you ever thought of doing something like that?
Yeah, I mean, we've done a number of things throughout the years. We've done like some bumper stickers for the flag. When Trump was running, I think the first time we did some things like that, we did some hats, some Carhartt stocking caps, Go Trump Go, that we gave away on the air. So from time to time we have. It's a great idea, though. Could always do a little bit more of it. So good stuff to be thinking about, Mark. Thank you very much. I'm going to let you go just because we have full phone lines here. So we'll do that. Another call that's being queued up, right? Not full phone lines, but another call holding. But while that's getting queued up here, let me try to hit a couple text messages that have come in. Steve, if I was selling to convention prospects, the downtown option's an easier sell. To be successful, the venue needs to get conventions booked. Attendees having options outside the convention center walls is a bonus. I attend several conferences a year and enjoy the venues that I can take a walk to and enjoy options for shopping and dining. Yep, get it. It's something that that has as an advantage right now. But you're not talking about, you know, an untravelable distance. And you know that there'll be things that will spring up around that. And people Uber all the time when they go to conferences. So I get it. Not a bad point there. Steve, we should have moved to build a convention center in the first place as they are money pits and it should have been built in the urban plains area. We have to stop treating downtown as more important than the rest of the city. It's also a huge slap in the face to those who donated money for flood damage relief to use that money for anything else, especially when victims of the 2009 flood are still suffering. Yeah, well, Dakota Medical Foundation's got, it looks like to me, the final say in that, so they don't have to release that money. For that. It's an idea, but we learned that from Commissioner Turnberg here today. Yeah, so there's a balance in my mind. I don't mind having some of my tax money go to have things in our community that I like to partake in, participate in, attend. The sports complex on the south side of town is a good example. I did the reporting on this one not too long ago. You saw it on our website. That you have right now about $6 million a year that the city taxpayers, city budget, whatever, however you want to look at it, park district, it all comes through tax money, is paying for basically the debt service on that sports complex. $6 million a year. So there is a difference between operationally, if you can cover your expenses, and cash flow, which is covering your expenses plus your debt service, your loan payments. So you can cover all of your operating expenses with income and say that your break even, your net operating income we use in the business world, is even, but you might be losing money in the long run. Now, everyone's going to have to decide, is $6 million appropriate in a city this size? You're going to have the same thing in just about every one of these buildings. And Tony Garrick, to his credit, has been saying this from day one. None of these buildings ever make money and they never even break even. They might operationally break even, but because of the bonding you have to take out and the interest you have to pay, it's not going to break even cash flow wise. So thanks for that. Steve, I've been around a bit. I've noticed the best downtowns are focused on the local citizens. I don't get to downtown Fargo often anymore, but would miss seeing that civic center. Steve, the housing issue you talked about is being promoted in Congress. One part is about the revamp of empty buildings. Would Michelle approve of some condos in an empty building with a few efficiency condos for one person at a reasonable price, not public housing? All right, question for her next time. Let's see. Oh, and then a bunch of people have commented on, I said, growing up in the farm, we had breakfast, dinner, and supper. Anybody else? And I probably got 10 text messages. Yes, Steve, that's what we had. In fact, a few people from the rural areas texting in saying, that's still how we do it. Good job, you guys. You can take the kid out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the kid or the breakfast, dinner, and supper. Appreciate that. Have a great day, my friends. Stay tuned. Scotty's next. Keep on flying that flag.